We are blessed of the Lord. We are highly favored, and He has empowered us to prosper. Now, are you prospering? Amen. Well, you know, that sounds good. The Lord's got a word for us today. As always, we're going to enter in prayer. And I want you to release your faith. When we pray at the beginning of service, I remember reminding you for years and years and years, you know, don't just let it go, but release your faith, because we are asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit, our teacher and our revelator, to speak to our hearts, to illuminate our minds, that we might have grace deposits and truth impartations. If we come together and touch and agree on that, when we come together to hear the word, I guarantee you'll walk out of here with abundant revelation. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the Holy Spirit being our teacher, the Holy Spirit being our revelator. Holy Spirit, Jesus told us that He would not leave us comfortless, but He would send you. And we receive you now today as our comforter, as our teacher, as our guide. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the mature sons and daughters of God. Father, we thank you that the Holy Spirit is leading us today. I yield myself as a vessel to be used by you. I pray that you would think through my mind, you would speak through my mouth, that I'll be an oracle of God. I thank you, Lord, that we don't hear from man today, but we hear from you, Lord. Speak through me to your people. And I pray that every person in here that has ears open to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit of Satan today will receive volumes of revelation. In Jesus' name we pray. All in agreement with that prayer, say, amen. Well, we're going to get somewhere today. The Spirit of God led me to start a message last week entitled The Blessings of the Willing and the Obedient. The blessings of two things. The blessings of the willing and the obedient. Not the willing or the obedient. The blessings go to the willing and the obedient. Two different things. And one of the reasons we looked around, I said, at the church, and you see tens of thousands, even millions of Christians in the church in America, and you don't always see the saints of God blessed as they should be, or blessed the way God said it would happen. Because God said we can be the head, not the tail. Above and not beneath, blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessed in the storehouse, blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to will prosper. With just so many wonderful things. 22,000 promises in the Word of God that God made to us. But the average Christian experience, when you look around, I sometimes have a problem distinguishing them from the people in the world. The divorce rate is almost the same in the church as is the world. The poverty rate's almost the same as the church in the world. The confusion rate, the suicide rate, it makes you wonder, well, is there a God? And is there any benefit in serving Him? Does He have any blessings at all? Well, of course He does. But the problem is with us. We are not always willing to do what God wants. Sometimes we're willing and He tells us to do it and we tell Him we'll do it, but then we're not obedient. The first case of that is at the point of salvation, when we're willing to come down and we're willing to confess Jesus our Lord, but we're not obedient to make Him our Lord. We walk away from that altar sometimes the same way we walked up. After crying, as I say, those crocodile tears, oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord, for restoring me. Oh, Lord, I thank you so much. And then we go right out there and forget that we are now dead and buried in Christ, not us to live, the Christ that lives in us. This life that I now live in the flesh, I live in obedience to Christ. No, we go right out and say, I don't feel like going to church today. I ain't going. Lord, I know you want me to bless that brother over there. I ain't giving him that money because I need that money. I want you to go and do that. No, I ain't doing that, Lord. I want you to pray. I'm not praying. Well, if you have a person who made a confession, which actually sums up as a lie, Jesus, come in our heart, save me now, I give my life to you, but yet you keep your life, that person's not going to look any different. Their divorce rate isn't going to be any different. Their marriage isn't going to be any better. Their finances isn't going to be better. Their health is going to be better. So I submit to you today that the reason so many Christians in the American church are living beneath the blessings of God, not getting blessed by God, is because they're either not willing or obedient, or they're not willing and obedient. I'm a person who, if God says something and I don't see it, I want to know why. If God says I'm the head, not the tail, and I look around, I don't see the head, not the tail. I don't say, well, the Lord moves in mysterious ways. He's one. I said, no, something's wrong here. Something's wrong. When I took calculus class in college and I first went in there and that stuff was crazy, the teacher moved in mysterious ways. She had wonders to perform. But you know what it was? I just didn't do my homework. So I didn't study. So that test was marvelous. The things that were on there, I had no idea. That test was deep. No, I just was shallow. So very often it's not that God's moving in mysterious ways, because everything seems mysterious to the ignorant, the unlearned. But suppose I learn a scripture that tells me that the willing and the obedient will eat the good of land, like it says in Isaiah 1, 18 through 20. It's the willing and the obedient to eat good land. If I know that and I'm not eating the good of land, I might just check, am I willing and am I obedient? So applying that to the whole Church of America, and you see all these people not blessed, I have to wonder, based on the Word of God and the wisdom of God, perhaps everybody that named the name of Jesus Christ and said, Lord, Lord, don't actually do the will of the Father. They aren't willing to do it, nor are they obedient to do it. So therefore, they're just like the people in the world, because if you do the same thing, you get the same result. The Bible said from the beginning of time to the end of time, there'll be a principle called seed, time, and harvest. If you sow it, you're going to reap it. And you know that works for saved folks too? If you throw away your money before you get saved, you're going to be broke at the end of the month. What happens if you talk bad to your wife and your husband? Is your marriage going to be good? Nope. What about if you get saved and then you talk bad to your wife? Is it going to be good? See, salvation gives you access to wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the blessing of God, but it doesn't make you blessed. You have to walk in the light of the revelation you have. You have to do differently than what you did before you said Jesus would be Lord. Before I said Jesus was Lord, I didn't follow him. Now, if I say he is Lord, I got to follow him. I got to keep his commandments. I have to follow his word, don't I? I have to be different to get different results. The confession of salvation is you saying, God, I don't want to be the same anymore. I want to be a new creation. I want things to be new. He said, okay. Now you got to be new. I'll lift you from the bondage of sin and free you from it. Now you got to put your flesh under, keep your flesh under, so you won't be a castaway. You got to press into the things of God so that the manifested blessings of God can manifest in your life. You have to do the do. Blessed are the doers of the word, not the hearers only. And what happens is we have people in the body of Christ to make a confession at some point in their life, but they don't do the word. They're not willing to do it. They're not obedient to it. They might go to church every Sunday, wear a suit, dress up, wear a pretty dress, get the fresh weave in, a fresh cut. But just as carnal as anything knows, they are not acting like children of God. So therefore, if they're sowing into poverty, if they're sowing into sickness, if they're sowing into failed marriages, if they're sowing into confusion, if they're sowing into all these things that we do not put under the heading of being a blessing, we reap what we sow. But when we are willing and obedient to God, God has the word of God full of seed that blesses you. God says what to do with your finances. Gives all kinds of financial wisdom. We did a financial seminar out of the book of Proverbs. All kinds of wisdom about finance. God talks about how to love your wife, how to love your husband. God talks about what food is that was created to be received with thanksgiving and what food is not created to be received. God talks about think on these things that are good, lovely, pure, of a good report, that being virtue and praise. Think on these things, not a bunch of soap operas and a bunch of dramas, because your life just going to be full of drama. It's going to look like a soap opera and you're not going to be blessed. Now, the Bible says all that. But if we're not willing, obedient, or even ignorant of it, what's going to happen? There's a scripture in the Bible. I say it so often because I want everybody, joy, faith to know it. God said that if you're ignorant of the enemy's devices, he will do what? Gain an advantage over you. But God, you're talking to saved people. You're talking to the church, telling them that you're not just going to magically make it all work out because they said some words. No, if you are ignorant, talking to the church, if you're unknowing, if you're deceived, if you're ignorant of how the enemy tricks you, you're going to be tricked. Yeah, but God, I'm saved. It ain't supposed to happen to me. I gave my life to Lord. Aren't you just supposed to take care of me and make everything work out? If you're ignorant of the enemy's tricks and devices, he's going to get an advantage over you. So although I'm saved, if I don't want him to get advantage over me, I have to read and study and meditate the word so I can prove the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. I have to read and study it so I can know what to do and have to be willing to do that. Now, I ask you a question. Have you ever been guilty of being saved, going to church, but not being willing or obedient to study the sermon during the week? Don't raise your hand, but think about it. Just see. Now, I know your joy of faith, Word Church. I know y'all go home and y'all just chew it all week long. You meditate it. You just go through the scriptures again and again. You decide you're going to take that and hide in your heart. Next week, you're going to be ready for part two because part one is a part of you. Right? That's what happened last week. Y'all, I mean, you could preach part one to me. Right? Because you got that. That's in the bag. Now you're ready. God, enlighten me. God, take me from faith to faith and grace to grace. I got that one. I got this. Come on, God, put some more on there. I know that's you, right? Well, sometimes, just in case that's not always you, then that word you heard will not benefit you because you can't mix it with faith, let alone if you forgot it. Because if you're ignorant of it, you didn't capture the revelation. And Satan knows you're exposed so he can attack you when God has already given you the word to have the sword of the spirit. God has already given you the word that you can fight the devil back on that. But he offered you the word, but you didn't receive the word. You're like the stony ground that didn't receive the seed in. Next week, you don't have it. And we're still ignorant of what the Lord has made available for us to know. We weren't willing to meditate it, to hide it. We weren't willing to follow David's example. I've hidden the word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And the heart, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. I didn't take last week's message home and meditate it to get into my heart. So it may be a word I heard, but it's not a word that I own. Because I was not obedient to think on it, to meditate it, to check it. I just went like, well, I'm going to forget it anyway. So it doesn't really matter. I'm not talking to nobody in here. I'm talking so you can share that with other folk who don't know this, okay? This is for other people. Maybe we know things to do, but we just ain't willing to do that. Maybe we're not obedient when we say, amen, glory to God, thank for the word, I'm willing to do it. Like we say, Jesus, you be the Lord of my life. I give my life to you. My life is in your hands, God. You do what you want to do with it. Lord, you're the potter and I'm the clay. Just shape me how you want to. But meanwhile, we really rebel and all over the place. My life is my life. I'm doing what I want to do. Maybe we're not willing obedient. And that's not necessarily all of us, but that's a huge portion of the American church. That's why they don't look like the head, not the tail, and above and not beneath. It's not because it's not God's will. It's not because the devil's bigger and stronger than we are. It's because we weren't willing to do what it takes. So we wouldn't sow into our own success. We wouldn't sow into our own blessing. And God is not going to bless the disobedient. And God is not going to bless the unwilling because he said 4,000 years ago in Isaiah, it's the willing and the obedient that will eat the good of land. The question is, do we have knowledge that he said that? I think we do. Now, we start this series off with three questions. Let's review those questions real quick, because you want to have this in your mind as this series answers this. Where do you stand in God? Relating to willingness and obedience, where do you stand in God? Because you stand somewhere, I stand somewhere. We have a position in God on this that's either favorable or disfavorable. It's either holy and righteous or it's unholy and unrighteous. But we stand somewhere in this position with God. Ask the second question. Do you willingly submit to his will? God, your will is my breath. God, I have no will to separate from yours. God, not my will, but thy will be done. I submit to your will. Is that us in all areas? What about, are you obedient to follow it? God, I'm willing, but I'm just not going to do it. If you find yourself feeling guilty every time the word comes to you, you feel yourself needing to repent on a regular basis, it might be because you care about what God's saying, but you're sorry that you disobeyed him. Now, thankful, if you're in that position, you got enough sense to repent and come back. So ain't no problem with coming back, but there's a problem with having left the first time. God, I need to walk with you, not visit you on Sunday. I need to walk with you. And the way for me to walk with you is I have to stay in the Spirit. But that makes sense because it tells us Romans 4:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It's only those that are led by the Spirit of God. When we're not led by the Spirit of God, who's leading us? Who's leading that person to sin? Who's leading that person to not be in church? Who's leading that person to not give when God says give? Who's leading that person to not do Bible study? Who's leading that person not to meditate the word to hide in their heart so they can stop sinning against God? Who's leading that person contrary to will in the word of God? It's not God and it's not the Holy Spirit. Who's leading me to not be willing and to put my will under God's will? Who's leading me to disobey when God said obey? That is never the Spirit of God. That's another spirit. That's a spirit of an antichrist that's leading me away from Christ's leading. But the thing is, to be a Christian, I have to be Christ-like, not antichrist-like. And sometimes we're not receiving or manifesting the blessing of God because we're not as much like Christ as we may think we are. We might be guilty of thinking more highly of ourselves than we are. We might be guilty of being deluded. I'm thinking I'm the best thing since heaven. God's so lucky to have me, when God might be saying, I could use a few less of you to tell you the truth. You're not the brightest light bulb in the family chandelier. You need to polish up a little bit. I can't get you to do nothing. Can't get you to do anything. I want to bless you, so I want to move you in a position to bless you. Give to the church. What measure you want to be measured back into you, you give. You want to be blessed sparingly, just give a little bit. When you're blessed, but give a lot. And you just say, I ain't giving it all. I got bills to pay. I got some stuff for me. I got to take care of my house. The heck with your house. Well, who's in charge? Is God in charge? Are we willing and obedient? You don't understand, God, I got bills to pay. You know the ones I created, I make sure I got my expenses in my life so high that I can't afford to give nothing to you. So you just got to deal with it, God. But at the same time, Jesus, I love you. You're my Lord of my life. I live for you, God. It's nothing for me. It's all for you, God. And God would be like, I'm sorry. I just can't remember what you've done for me lately. I just don't remember it. I don't remember when you were willing and obedient. I remember telling you. I remember instructing you. We said last week, I remember giving you the word of God that says, don't forsake the assembling of the saints as is the manner of some. And even more so should we come together as the day of the Lord approaches, because evil is the day there. I remember telling you to come be in the family, to be with the saints. I remember telling you that, but you told me no. I'm tired. I was working hard in the world. I gave 5 hard days to the world. Then I did what I wanted Saturday. I'm tired Sunday. I got to rest. So God, I can't come and serve in the ministry. I can't come to church. I can't hear. But God, you are my Lord. You are my Lord. You're everything. I give my life to you. God says, I don't want that. And you hadn't given me anything anyway. If you give somebody nothing, they still don't have anything. If somebody give their life to God, but they essentially give him nothing, what is that? What can God do with that? You give your life to God, and just say you become an usher, God can do something. He can use you to bless people. You give life to God, you become a soul winner. He can use that because he can win souls to you. You give your life to God, and you become a financer. God blesses you, and you bring finances into the church that you might have meat in his house. God can use that, but God can't use a person who hasn't given anything to him. They weren't willing, or you don't even have to think it ideal. God gives us what we should do. He tells us his will. He's got a book full of things we should do, ways we should act. The question is, are we willing to do them, and are we obedient to do them? So we look real quick at our text there, Isaiah 1, 18 through 20, and we got to have the Word of God. I don't want to preach nothing that's not the Word of God. The only thing that's truth is the Word of God. I got to preach the truth. And in the Word of God, it says, come now. We're in Isaiah 1, verses 18 through 20, reading from the King James. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Then he says, if. Everybody say if again.
If.
Say it one more time.
If.
Say it loud.
If
is an important word. You see, I made it in bold. You see, I highlighted it. Because if is the condition, it's the qualifier of if you do, then you get. If you don't do, then you don't get. If you do the opposite, you don't get. The only way to get the blessing is to meet the condition of the if. So literally it says in the Word of God, if you be willing and conjunction and meaning both, not or meaning one or the other, but the conjunction and an inclusive conjunction. If you be willing and obedient, you know what's going to happen? You're going to eat the good of the land. You're going to get blessed if you're willing and obedient. But didn't want to highlight that, but it's there. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But the opposite of those two, willing and obedient, is if you refuse and rebel. Refuse is the opposite of willingness, and rebel is the opposite of obedience. There's nobody who's obedient to God and rebellious to God at the same time. There's nobody who's willing to do what God says and refusing the will of God at the same time. So the Bible is contrasting these two. And he saw fit, since every word of God is put there for a purpose, no words without a purpose, every word, every jot, every tittle, every letter, every I that's dotted, it's all important. So God moved on people of old by the Holy Spirit to write this the way it appears. Of course, it was an original language in Hebrew, but they wrote it just like this. If this, if not, then this. These prevent that from happening, and these will prevent that from happening. Who's going to heaven? The willing and obedient, or those who refuse and rebel? Who's going to be blessed? The willing and obedient, or those who refuse and rebel? Who's going to be devoured? The ones who are obedient and willing, or the ones who refuse and rebel? That's a whole lot of revelation right there. You can write a book on those two verses right there. That right there is like a synopsis of the problem that's going on with the Christian who's not blessed. Is that Christian is not willing and obedient, but that Christian is regularly refusing what they know is the will of God. Whether it's in giving, whether it's in loving a person, whether it's in winning people to Christ, whether it's in the building the kingdom of God, they refuse to do that. I refuse to give regular to a church. I refuse to build a body of Christ. I refuse to love my wife or my husband the right way. I refuse that. And then God says, do A, B, C, D. And they say, I'm going to do E, F, G. I ain't doing A, B, C, and D. So they rebel against what God says. It's not surprising that a person does that would not be blessed. Because to be blessed, you have to do the first ones. Now, that's real obvious. That's real clear. But I think in our mind, we agree to it. We call what the word calls, what we call mental assent. I agree with it in my mind. Pastor Cook, that's good. That's true. I see that. I understand that. But yet we still don't change our actions. That means it's not in our heart. No one believes anything till it changes their behavior. If you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, you obey him and you willingly do it. But if you really don't believe that, but it's in your head, yeah, I can understand how people say that. And y'all have heard that before, but you haven't got that in your heart. You won't change. And the problem is there's a huge amount of people that call themselves Christians, but they're not saved because salvation's in the heart. For with the heart, man believes. Whosoever will confess the Lord Jesus Christ, or in our language, confess to Jesus their Lord, and be telling the truth, not lying. So it's really in our language, whoever would make Jesus the Lord of their life shall be saved. because the heart man believes, and with the mouth confessions made in salvation. But the heart man believes. What do you believe? You believe with stuff in your heart. What's in your heart is going to make you do right, because the issues of life flow from the heart. A person is led from the spirit, from their heart. For the heart of man is the count of the Lord. The spirit of man is the count of the Lord. That is there. So if I train my human spirit with the word of God and it's full of the word of God, the issues to flow out of my life are going to be godly. But if I make a confession with my mouth, but I still got disobedience in my heart, I still got, well, yeah, I know Jesus, Lord, but you know, really, I ain't seen him lately. I don't really believe that. I said it, but I don't really believe it. A person doesn't believe something till it changes their behavior. If I believed that I was going to end up dying if I went over a certain amount of speed limit, and I didn't want to die, and I really believed I would die, you know what I would do? I would never go over that speed limit, because that would be foolish for me not to want to die and actually believe it. Now, what most folks do, like, that ain't really going to happen. Have God say it. That ain't really going to happen. And they just go right on through it anyway. And they get what Eve got. See, you got yourself kicked the heck out the garden. Everything was going good, and you listen to the devil talk about, then you're going to be like God, and you're going to do all this, you're going to do all that. Just disobey God. Just bite this fruit. Just do it. And you're going to be like God. Did Adam and Eve become like God after they did what Satan said? Nope. They chose that they were going to not be willing to follow the will of God. They were not going to obey when God said that all the trees of the garden you may eat, but that tree do not eat. She knew it was of that tree. She even said, God told us don't eat of that tree. Hey, God don't know what he's talking about. Have God really said don't eat of the tree? He just said that because he knows you're going to be like God when you eat it. Don't you want to be like God? Yeah, I want to be like God. This is the devil asking you if you want to be like God. That's the wrong person to be asking. But they went for it, hook, line, and sinker. So what they decided to do, instead of willing to obey God and obeying God, they decided, I'm going to refuse God. I'm going to treat what God said as refuse, as trash. I'm going to throw it out as refuse. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to rebel against what he said, because God is crazy. God doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm better than God. I know better than God. I know God said, do this. I don't have to do that. It's going to be all right. To this day, people look back at Adam and Eve like they do something that we don't do. Like they different than us. Oh, I never would have done that. Brother, if I was there, I would have told Satan, get thee behind me, Satan. But yet, every day, they doing exactly what Satan say do. They're rebelling against God. They're refusing to follow the word. Because they're detached from reality of what it looks like, what it feels like, because their mind says, no, I would never refuse God. I would never rebel. But in their heart, it's a rebellious heart. I'm in charge of me. I'm the boss of me. You can't play God. I thought you gave your life to Christ. I just said that to get some fire insurance from hell. Thing about it is you can't fool God. God is not to be mocked. Whatever you sow into, what you plant into, that's what you're going to reap. God's not to be made a fool of. He's not to be mocked. That's in the Bible, too. In case folks are ignorant of it, that's in there, too. You can't play God. But if you refuse, you're going to be devoured by the sword. But if you want to be blessed, just be willing and obedient. One of the reasons all of us in this room are blessed to the degree we're blessed is because we obey God to a measure. Maybe in our finances, we obey 90%, so we do pretty good. Maybe in our health, we eat mostly right, so we do pretty good. But what about those where we don't obey? What about that 10% we leave open for disease to come in? For sickness to come in? What about the time we're unwise and we put in our mouth what we know is not created to be received? What about time we bless somebody out and let those words, the Bible said, you know, sweet water and bitter water shouldn't come out the same fountain. And we're children of God. We should always have sweet water coming out of our mouth. But we decided, I'm just going to cuss them out. They got on your last nerve and you wasn't having them no more. Love of Christ, my foot. I'm about to put the old man back on and iron this person out. But were we supposed to do that? Was that being willing to follow God? Was that being willing to submit to Him and say, yes, what they said personally hurt me, it was offensive, but I'm dead and buried with Christ. I don't feel a thing. I'm going to respond like Jesus. I'm going to look at the Word of God that says, never return relling for relling, never return evil for evil. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be Christ-like because I'm a Christian for real. I'm a for real Christian. I'm going to follow the Word. We don't always do that. Sometimes we're not willing obedient, so maybe that's, we miss a blessing somewhere. God's got the blessing ready to be awarded or rewarded to us, but we're not getting the reward or the award of the blessing because, not because of God, but because we said, you know what? I know what you said. I know I ain't supposed to be blessing folk out like this, but you know what? I'm sorry. I just got to put the Holy Ghost. You go stand over there. I got this. And I'm going to just go walk in the flesh. I'm going to step out the spirit. I'm going to walk in the flesh. Then when I get out there under the spot where the blessing ain't coming out, and I get out there where the devil got control, and you go do something to get you fired, you go do something to get you divorced, you go do something to get your finances messed up, you go do something stupid, that moment that you took the 10% to visit into sin and disobedience, open up the door for the blessing to leave out. Lord told me something a few months ago, and I wrote it down. He said, there are no part-time Christians. I had never heard him say that to me before. I never heard any minister say that. It just rose up in my spirit. There are no part-time Christians. You're the full-time Christian or you're not a Christian. Ooh, that's big. That's big. Because we might look at ourselves and say, I'm not always willing and obedient. Why not? The Lord's dealing with me. The Lord's working on me. I'm struggling in some areas. You mean you're going to hell? Well, I wouldn't go that far, but that's where you're going to go. Because you don't want to follow God. Well, I'm sorry. If you don't follow God, you don't end up where He's leading you. Where's God leading people? To be with Him in heaven. If I don't follow Him, how am I going to end up there? If I'm not a follower of Christ, how am I going to, where He said that you might be where I am? I prepared this for you. Follow after me. Keep my commandments that you might be where I am. He's a seat at the right hand of God in heaven. He wants us to be there. But the only road to heaven is to follow Christ. It's not to sometimes follow Christ. If I'm not Christ-like, I'm not going to get Christ's result. Christ's result is He obeyed the Father. Now, let me ask a question. Since we want to be Christian, want to be Christ-like, how often did Christ not obey God? How often did Christ walk in the flesh? How often did Christ sin? If I don't match that, then I ain't like Christ, am I? Have I decided this week I'm not going to sin? Am I willing to not sin this week? Some folks just, nobody's perfect. They ain't even willing to be willing not to sin. They preparing that they gonna sin. Ain't nobody perfect. Ain't nobody perfect. Well, you know, we all have sinned. I say, I wish we keep that in the past tense, not say we all do sin. We all continue to sin because the Bible don't say that. And I've been talking to people on the streets and they will make the statement when I'm talking about living right and doing right that all have sinned. I'm like, what does that have to do with it? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God except Jesus Himself. But why are you using that to defend? That's why you're not going to be willing to stop sinning. Because all have sinned. Why are you willing to disobey the scripture? Be ye perfect as your Father is heaven and perfect. Jesus said to His followers, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Jesus said that. Why are you not willing to follow that? You just say, nobody's perfect. What scripture is nobody's perfect? I know a scripture says, be ye perfect. I know a scripture. I know a commandment that says, be ye perfect as your Father's perfect. I know a commandment that says, be holy like your Father in heaven is holy. I know a commandment that says, without holiness, no man shall see God. I know those scriptures. That's the word. Where does that nobody's perfect come from? Maybe since Christ was perfect, I'm not like Him if I settle for being imperfect. I ain't talking nothing about the past. But Pastor, you do make it impossible. I ain't making it impossible. You can live right. I can live right. If you really can't live right, That means you're still in bondage to sin. And we can help you by just leading you to the Lord. If you said, I'm led to the Lord. I'm saved. Jesus is my Lord. But I can't live right. Well, you're still in bondage to sin. Salvation frees you from the bondage of sin. It didn't just free you from the punishment of sin. It frees you from the bondage of sin. When you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes within you. All you got to do is follow. Last week, did we follow God, or can we stop and think of a time when we didn't follow him? He was telling us to do something. He unctioned us, he prompted us, but we didn't do it. I behaved myself last week. I don't know when I didn't do what he said do. If he said go do extra Bible study, I went and did extra Bible study. If he said go and pray and I felt the unction of prayer, I prayed. If he said call somebody, he had me call one of the members of the church. He said call so-and-so. He put them on my heart. You know what I did? I picked the phone. I called him. And because I did those things, I don't think of any sin I did last week that I'm aware of. Maybe there's something I'm not aware of. But my heart is not condemning me. And if your heart does not condemn you, you can have faith towards God. If a person goes to the doctor and the doctor say, look at this x-ray, you got cancer. That could be a mistake. It could be somebody else's chart. It could be wrong. But a person who's condemned their heart is going to be like, they're just going to drop. Then they're going to say the words to claim the package the devil's trying to give them. I've got cancer. Then they're going to evangelize that. Mama, I got cancer. Go tell the husband and wife, I got cancer. Tell the neighbor, you know I got cancer. Just claim it. Just own it. But yet when the preacher told them and the word of God told them, you're the righteous of God, you're the head not the tail, they can't say, I can't say that. They'd be lying. I can't believe God. If the Bible says you're the righteous of God in Christ Jesus, you just say, not me, I'm not worthy. Well, can't you say about yourself what God says about you? You know God doesn't lie. If God said his children are righteous of God in Christ Jesus, maybe if you confess that and got faith for that, maybe you would obey him more. That's not called lying. It says if God calls you something and you want to agree with God, you should call yourself that. God would call Abram, as they say in Israel. God would call Abram, who had no kids, Abraham, which is father of a nation. God will go around and change the man's name. Just call me father of a nation. God knew he wanted him to have kids. And God said, you don't believe, so let me get you in faith. Here's your new name. So when somebody asks you, what's your name? Tell them your name, Father of a Nation. Hi, I'm Father of a Nation. I'm Father of a Nation. You used to be just Abram. Now you're Abraham. And years went by, Father of a Nation. I think he finally believed he was Father of a Nation and Sarah got pregnant. I think faith came by hearing him being called father. I think God wanted him to have faith. That's why God changed his name. Why don't you let God change your name from poor to blessed coming in, blessed going out? Why don't you let God give you a new name so you can be a new creature, a new creation? Faith will come if you'll take the name. My name is sick. My name is poor. My name is discouraged. My name is dyslexic. My name is underprivileged. Don't tell me my name. I know my name. Well, you better get a new name. Because there's no name under the name of heaven can stand up to the name of Jesus Christ. And you call yourself, I'm a child of the living God. I'm healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. The power of God is flowing through my body. I'm not moved by what the doctor shows me. I'm not moved by what the bank account says. I'm moved only by what the word says. And I'm going to get the word and I'm going to hold on that word and I'm going to hang on to it. I'm going to meditate it. I'm going to get in my heart till I believe it. And I'm going to hold on to that word in Mark 11, 22 on. It says, this is the faith of God. Have faith like God. Whosoever was saying to the mountain, be thou lift up and cast in sea, and does not doubt in their heart that what they say comes to pass, they're going to have whatever they say. Yeah. What? You mean to tell me I just got to believe it in my heart and say it out of my mouth, and it's in line with the will of God, I'm going to have whatsoever I say. Well, it works all the time. There's folks that want to be poor and they say, I'm so poor, I can't afford to pay attention. Don't have two nickels to rub together. That's what they say. And that's exactly what they have. You can hear people with faith. If they come and say, well, Pastor Cook, you know, I went to the doctor. He gave me a diagnosis. He said, I got arthritis, I got hypertension. I get this stuff. And I hear them. They have so much faith in that. They honestly believe that. Because the doctor told them they believe it. But yet, if I tell them you're righteous God in Christ Jesus, here's in the word, I say, how you doing? Well, I'm the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. I test you every week. How you doing? Blessed, highly favored, power to prosper. Few people, I'm blessed, highly favored, and power to prosper. Then what did I tell you last week? I told you last week the Smith Wigglesworth said when he got a hold of this, he said, when I get up in the morning, I don't ask Smith Wigglesworth how he's doing. I tell Smith Wigglesworth how he's doing. He gets up in the morning, I'm blessed. I'm highly favored of the Lord. God has given me power to prosper. Demons and devils run from me. They shake. Oh, the devil's upset now. They look and saying, he's up again. He's awake again. We're in trouble. Demons run. People give unto me. I'm blessed. Finances flow in freely. Wisdom. I have the wisdom of God. I have the mind of Christ. You could go on and on and on saying about yourself what God says about you, because that's what you want. Or you can want that, but keep saying about yourself what the world says about you. I'm not willing to obey God in my confession. I'm not willing to say about me what he, I'm just not willing. You know what? I'm just going to refuse to say it. I don't want to be no liar. Well, how you know what the devil say about you in a lie? Maybe from God's viewpoint, since God knows the beginning from the end, you are the father of a multitude. Nations come from you. But Abraham, like, I'm an old man. Never have been there to have kids. God's trying to bless the man. The man won't talk God out of it. You ever do that? God tell you head, not tail. You be, no, I'm not. You're awesome. You're so valuable. God died for you. Nobody loves me. Never have been that smart. I'm not worried. But you have the mind of Christ. Not me. Maybe Pastor Cook got the mind of Christ. I sure wish I had it, but I don't have it. I don't know what kind of mind I got. I don't have enough mind to know what kind of mind I have. I don't know. There's folk that act like that, talk like that. And the Bible says, don't be like that. The Bible says, think on things that are good, lovely, pure. God, Bible says, confess the word of God. Get it down in your heart. Think on the things that's good. But people, I don't have. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares. I've always been broke. My whole family's broke. My aunt died of cancer. Now I got a sniffle. My nose is running. I don't have a cold. I got cancer. Just all over the place. But they believe that. And whatsoever, it does not qualify good or bad. It says whatsoever you believe in your heart and say out of your mouth is going to come to pass. Well, you know, I hope I don't get cancer. My grandmother had it. You know, my mother died of cancer. I got two aunts that got cancer. Man, I'm really afraid I'm getting cancer. Matter of fact, I better go take this poison drug that's for people who may think they may get cancer. You start taking drugs to get you cancer, thinking to keep you from getting it. If there ain't nothing wrong with you, don't take no medicine. But I'm scared. The Bible says God hadn't given a spirit of fear, but a power of love. Are you willing to obey God? I'm not afraid of nothing. I'm afraid of anybody. God told me specifically. He said, fear nobody, fear no thing, fear nothing. I've not given you a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. No need to be afraid of anybody. Fearing the devil is nonsense, and being afraid of demons is foolish. I was out in the park. Helen and I were out in the park witnessing this Wednesday, and I told the guy, I said, I ain't afraid of nothing. I'm going out here to tell people about Jesus, invite them to joy of faith, because they need to get under that anointing. They need to get blessed. They need to know Jesus. So she and I go out there, and we're out there talking to people. And I said, you know, just I ain't afraid of nothing. I ain't afraid of nobody. I said, and a boldness came over. We got to sharing and talking. And that very faith that we had was infecting him. It was affecting. His name was Christopher. He's going to come to church one day. We're going to look up and we're going to see Christopher sitting here. And Philip, we talked to Philip. We're going to see Philip here too. Why are they going to be here? Because I know it. I know it in spirit. The church is growing. Look around. Can't you tell it's growing? And it's going to keep growing till we have 5,000 plus. Because this group of people here are going to catch the vision of a large multiracial church with a big campus with a Bible school, with a college, and with thousands and thousands of people coming, because it's going to be so, because God spoke it in 1984. And all he's ever needed was people to believe. That's all God ever needs, is people to believe. All he needs is a group of people to be willing, obedient, to go out and bring people into church. People willing, obedient, to share with them what you learned last week because you spent the week learning it. He just needs folk to minister. We were out there in the streets, and I told Helen, I said, ain't no lack of sinners. Ain't no lack of unchurched, so-called saved people. They're everywhere. The field is wider than the harvest. We were out there, and Christopher said, oh, you know, he said, and we were like, what? He said, you too, you're out here. People don't, why did he say, Helen? He said, people don't do that, or Christians don't, because he was talking to you, and I just walked up after talking to another guy. We were talking to everybody. I like what Todd White said, when you go out in the streets, who you talk to? Talk to everybody. Who you pray for? Pray for everybody. Who you minister? Minister to everybody. Everybody and anybody. So we were talking to anybody. I've been talking to somebody. She talking to somebody. I came over there after I finished talking to this guy and giving him some stuff, inviting him to church. I went over there and he's saying, you just don't see this. You just don't. And I didn't know what he was talking about, but he was talking about Christian people out in the street talking to people. But these people that say they're the people of God the most, you don't see them doing it. How many of you all go out to the street for the purpose of talking to somebody about Christ and church? We don't do that often. We might say, God, I'm willing to do it, Lord. I go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I said, go you into the world. You willing to do that? Well, not that. What else you got? God, I'm not going to be willing for that. I'm going to refuse instead. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to refuse. Thank you for the offer, though. But I'll pass. I'm not going to the street and talk to nobody. There's people that really don't understand. This can save people. Some of you that may not be blessed as God wants you to be, this is the key right here. Let your heart not condemn you anywhere. Make sure you're doing exactly what. I mean, next week, you don't want nothing to be existing in your heart that you should have done. You want to improve, you want to get close to God, start off with this. Look to your heart, and whatever your heart's telling you you should have done, go do it. Right. I call it, I have a thing in there, the Lord has spoke that to me a couple of years ago, and I have a thing that comes up and it reminds me, it says, in order to bring about a positive change, the first thing you do is what's on your should do or should have done list in your heart. Because we all got some stuff we should have done. I should have studied more last week. I should have talked to that lady in the store because I kind of felt like I should talk to her, but I just kept there goofing off until she walked away. I went, okay, it's not God. When the thing is, intentionally stalled. You got to be willing to do that. You may pray, oh God, use me, Lord. Lord, use me, Father God. I want to just be used by you. Then God said, go do that. God, I want to be used, but not that. I'm not willing to do that. You got something else? Give me something easy. Well, go give that person $50. You got something else easier? How about 50 cents? I'm willing to give them 50 cents. I'm willing to give them 50 cents. Well, that ain't where the blessing's at. Doesn't take no faith to give 50 cents. It might take faith to give the $500 to somebody. I had my niece's husband. So he was going back to school. They had said something about trying to raise money, and I was moved with compassion to give him $500 of my dollars. I'm not always moved like that. And that was a sacrificial giving. But it wasn't about them. It was about God. It was about being willing and obedient. That reminds me of a time I was a Bible school student. And in Bible school, I had all A's. If you go to school, you go to learn. I had all A's except one class. We're in the final. And the first question is, did you read the book? The whole book, including the table of contents, the copyright page, the bit. I'm talking about that. He had that on there. I'm not making that up because he said you ain't read the book till you read every word of the book. But, you know, I'm glad he didn't tell us to read. He didn't tell us all that.
That was nowhere in the syllabus. He didn't say all that. And I know he didn't say it. I asked some other people later after that. He didn't say that. That wasn't on there. He thought he said it. He may have meant to say it, but he didn't say it. And I was about to say, I'm taking the test. And I'm like, this test is a third of my grade. I'm not going to get my A if I mess around here and put that. It's the teacher's fault. And you know what the Spirit of God told me? Even though it was the teacher's fault, Spirit of God told me, the test is not whether you read the book or not. The test is whether you're going to tell the truth or not. And I had to be willing to give up my straight A status when the teacher was wrong to do what the real test was, the test of integrity. I can't say I read the book, including the copyright page and the bibliography and the table of contents and the preface, if I didn't read it. That would be a lie. That was a test because I knew I'm not going to have my A. And I deserved an A because I knew the material. I did all that. And he did not say that because I also never missed class. So I believe in doing things right. I was raised to do things right. I was raised a perfectionist to goal. That's why my motto and a motto at this church is perfection is desired. Excellence will be tolerated. Ain't nothing else acceptable because you're to be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Jesus was everywhere he was supposed to be when he was supposed to be there. God the Father said there's a time and season for everything. To be on time is to be late. To be early is to be on time. That's a spiritual discipline that manifests in the natural because it shows respect for God and respect for anybody who you're meeting with. I actually write these sermons from the beginning to the end, and I'm not going to fall out over it, but I really feel for you when I had an introductory video and you missed it because the Holy Ghost started then. Are you willing to say, God, I love you enough? I love my pastor enough to prepare them that he's preparing a message. I love the congregation. I'm not going to be disturbing people. I love you enough. I'm going to come on time so I can get it all because I'm hungry, Lord. I don't want to miss a thing. I want the context from the beginning to the end. I don't want to come in saying, what? You know, Pastor Cook don't preach that good. I just leave confused. Well, he was only there 5 minutes of a 1 hour sermon. He's only there 5 minutes. You would be confused. I couldn't say the teacher didn't say it if I wasn't there every time the teacher opened their mouth, could I? The test was integrity. So I had to decide God didn't care nothing about me having straight A's. That was just something I cared about. And I didn't really care. I just was doing my best. And the results is you get straight A's. If you take it serious and study, you're going to learn. It's God's will that you know the Bible, isn't it? So nothing's working against you but Satan. It's God's will you know it. Every time you open your Bible, you should be a straight A student. God wants you to know it. You got the Holy Spirit helping you learn the Bible. So literally, I'm supposed to know it. I wasn't trying to get a straight A's. I wasn't no pride about I got to be straight A's. I happened to have had straight A's in the second year. And then he come with a crazy question like that that was not there. And then my flesh thought like, hold up. I do have straight A's. I'm not going to have straight A's. And it's his fault. So the old me, not the new me, but the old me would have been like, it's his fault. Yes, I read it. And I would have my straight A's. But God literally, I'm sitting there in that test, upset at the teacher, taking the final. And God, the Spirit of God said to me, the test is not, it's not about whether he told you or didn't tell you. The question says, did you read the whole thing, including the bibliography, the table of contents, the preface? The question said, did I read it? So did I read it? No, I didn't read it. I didn't have to read it. I read the book. But nobody told me I had to read the copyright page and the preference and all. Nobody told me that. That's not the question. The question is, did you read it? No, I didn't read it. So what's the only honest answer of a person with integrity? I didn't read it. Didn't ask, was the question fair? Was the teacher honest? Do you speak the English? In English, it says, did you read it? No, I didn't read it. So I can't put I did read it. And God told me the test was integrity. And I passed the test with the only true master. That's God in heaven. Would you be willing to be honest? Or would you compromise and lie? What would you do in that instance? Have you ever had a situation where you kind of like, they were wrong, not me? What did you do? Were you willing to maintain integrity? Because the question was clear. And the answer should have been clear. It should not have been a debate. I did not read the preface and the copyright page. So the answer is no. There's no debate. There's no question. But you don't understand. Have God really said? Did the teacher really do? That was one of those moments where what you gonna do? Eve went the wrong way. I didn't want to go Eve's way. I wanted to go Jesus' way. It is written that I didn't read the book. I didn't read the preface, so I ain't read it. And I don't care nothing about having a C, the only C on my Bible school record. What does this make? The test was whether God could count on you. And today, you're being tested. If you go to work and you see a pencil there and the company's name is on it and nobody told you to steal their pencil, you can't take their pencil. And if you got a bunch of their pencils and pens sitting on your desk at home, you need to take those back because you're a thief. You stole the pen. Now, if you, well, Pastor, I ain't stealing. Well, go in there and say, I took these home and I had them for about 2 years, Mr. Boss, do you mind? Hey, we didn't buy those are for the customers. You ain't supposed to have a house full of, car full of, you ain't supposed to do that. Well, you ain't gonna go do that, are you? You ain't gonna put it to the test to see. You just gonna assume because they don't pay you enough anyway, so you just gonna steal to make it up, right? We've all been tempted to do that, except for only the highest integrity of us. I've been tempted for workplaces. You be like, they don't pay me enough, and you're tempted to steal. But I ain't gonna do that. But I've stolen potato chips from the store before, running with some kids when you young and they stealing stuff out the store and they grab some chips. It's easy. Say, man, I bet you won't do it. Bet you, yes, I will. Yes, I bet you won't. Yes, you scared. And I stole some chips. That was not right. I was going to church then. I knew stealing was wrong, but I went with the peer pressure. I didn't follow what God said to my heart. I bit the fruit. Now, suppose I got caught and sent to juvie. Would that be a good testimony? No. I was a thief. I stole some chips. I didn't pay for it. I didn't go back and pay for it. I ate the chips and said they was good. Stolen fruit is sweet. Thank God I got a different set of friends, or I might have been stealing hubcaps off your car. Then stealing your car. Then breaking your house. You see what I'm saying? That doesn't go to good places. It's the grace of God that maybe I got my buddy in Sunday school and learned, don't be a thief. Because that doesn't match the will of God. Now, those are my examples. You have your own examples. So this week, what I want you to take home from this message, since you do want to be blessed, and the only thing for preventing us from being as blessed as we'd like to be is our level of willingness and obedience. Now, what type of Christian is there? Only full-time. There's no such thing as a part-time Christian. You're either right with God or you're wrong. And you need to have that absolute because you want to be like Christ, and Christ is absolutely right. Now, you may be working on it and developing, but you ain't working on developing if you don't have it as a goal. You don't think it's necessary. You're not willing to be perfect according to what Jesus said, be ye perfect. Some of you are going to walk out here anyway and say, nobody's perfect. Because you're comfortable in your sin. I ain't mentioned no names, so don't be upset. If you're upset, then the Holy Spirit must be talking to you. Everyone in here who says they're Christian and says they're Christ-like needs to really think what that means. It means to be like Christ. In every way, Christ was honest. He had integrity. He always kept the will of God. He always obeyed. That's Christ. If that's not me, I create this term called part-time Christian. I'll be a Christian on Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday, but I take Tuesdays and Thursdays and Saturdays off. That's no kind of saint. That's somebody who's straddling the fence. But the problem is when you're straddling the fence between heaven and hell, the fence is in hell. The fence is in hell. There are no straddling. You're either in or you're out. You either give your life to Christ or you keep it in your hand. Jesus said, if I come back and your life is in your hands, you'll perish. He says, whosoever keeps his life shall lose it, but whosoever gives his life away shall save it. Part of salvation is you got to give it to Jesus. That's not just say those words. You have to give it. My life is not my own. I've been dead and buried. Paul told us that. Paul gave us the revelation. And I think it's Colossians. He said, I am dead and buried with Christ, not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. I am dead. It's not my life. It's not me who lives. I live to do the will of the Father. Then you're like Christ. Only type of Christian is a full-time Christian. If you miss it, repent, then you're back to full-time. But don't be a person who opens the door for sin. A sinner is not somebody who makes mistakes. A sinner is somebody who practices sin as a lifestyle with no remorse. And there's too many Christians to practice sin. Too many professing Christians, I call them, that do practice sin as a lifestyle. They did it last week. They're going to do it this week. And they ain't making no plans not to do it a week after that. That is a sinner. I don't care how much they go to church. That is a sinner. They practice sin as a lifestyle. We want to be obedient. We cannot refuse God and rebel against him and be right with God, expect to get heaven. Because what did I tell you years, decades ago now? I'm going to make it hard to go to hell from Joy Faith Christian Center. It's going to be hard. Nobody's going to stand before God and say, I didn't know. My pastor didn't tell me. Because I want to make sure that we know exactly what it takes. Holiness. Without holiness, no one shall see God. And you know where God's at? He's in heaven. And you know where we want to be? In heaven. But no person shall see God without holiness. We need to bring back holiness. The church needs to be holy, sanctified, set apart, and separated for the master's use. Righteous. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We need to be everything the Bible says. And you know what? We can do it. I know it feels hard. It's not hard. It's just we haven't had faith for it because the preachers have preached to us. It's okay. So we think it's okay. But once you keep hearing righteousness teaching, once you hear what the word says, isn't it getting easier all the time? Yeah. The Holy Spirit is manifesting more and more in your life now. You're under the spot where the blessing's coming out. You're renewing your mind to the word of God so you can get to the point where you prove the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God, like it says in Romans 12, verses 2 and 3. Devil can't trick me like that now. Why? Because I'm growing up in grace. I'm growing up in the knowledge of God. The word's working on your life, saint. The word's working in your life. Just keep cooperating with the word. Keep learning. Keep growing. Keep building your faith that you can go next week without sin. You may have gone last week without it. You might as well just go the rest of your life now. Just give up on sin. Just turn your back on sin. If you miss it, thank God we have an advocate, Jesus Christ in heaven. We confess our sin like we're going to do in just a moment. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin, and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then get back on the horse and ride. Keep falling to the same sin. Get in the word of God. Renew your mind to the word of God so you can prove the acceptable will of God. But never doubt that you have the ability to be perfect. Never doubt you have the ability to be holy. Never doubt you have the ability to be the righteous God. Because all three of those things, you don't need to doubt it. You don't have more than ability. You have the obligation. As a child of God, I'm obligated to be righteous, to be holy, and to live right and holy and be sanctified. I'm obligated, and I love it because I just want to be like him. I just want to be like him. So again, we want to be willing. We want to be obedient. We'll pick back up again next week. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank you for the word today. And as always, we thank you for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you honored our prayer and that you did speak to every person and you challenged them to come up higher, Father. I thank you that you see us where we are and you love us, but you lift us up higher. Your word is drawing us near to you. And you said, if we draw nigh to you, you'll draw nigh to us. As we draw closer to you, Father, more shaped and fashioned in the image of Christ, we're becoming more like him. We're becoming more like you until we answer the prayer of Jesus when he prayed and said, Father, I pray that you will make them one as you and I are one. Father, I thank you that we are one with you, Father. We confess that we are one with the Father, one with the Son, and one with the Holy Spirit. We move according to the will of the Father, led by the Holy Spirit, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that you are in us and we are in you, that we have the victory, and our faith is that victory that overcomes this whole world and this whole world system. We are, and we declare that we are the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Every head is still bowed, every eye is closed in prayer. Just a moment.